Group meeting, Friday, 11th January, 1985. There was a Catholic clergyman, or monk, I should say. His name was Fra Giovanni. Giovanni is George in Italian, isn't it? Fra Giovanni, and he wrote certain greetings to his friends on one occasion, and a close friend of ours who was concerned with the Peckham Health Center, and who was a doctor and who ran the center with another doctor, Dr. Williamson. And he died, and Dr. Denise Pierce was left by herself. And she wrote a letter to both of us on July 15th, 1953. And there are things in this letter which are extremely significant. So I thought it might be useful to consider this. I would like it to be considered, especially because it shows how the different traditions and the different disciplines of the various religions all point to the one goal, so to say. Although that goal may be defined in different ways, which seem contradictory. But even so, there is one point where all are entirely in agreement, and that is in the art of living the good life. Now, the art part is naturally presented in different ways, because the country, the history, the culture, the civilization which brought forth the particular religion and the particular teachings, of course, flourished at different times and under conditions which were different from those of the other religions, you see. But there is that identity, complete identity, as far as living the good life, the importance of living the good life is concerned. And Dr. Pierce writes, the doctor's own greeting to everybody, after he had written in his last book, these are the words: so immortality is a reality, but as you know or ought to know, heaven is within you. It's very significant, and that to have it at some future date, you must take it now. Of course, the Catholic belief is heaven after death. You must take it now through everything you see and touch and do. You must remember that it is not what you do so much as how you do it that counts. What you do here, I presume, refers to the sort of discipline you follow, and so on. It's not what you do, but how do you do it? The spirit in which you do it. Is it something self-centered? Is it done in order that it may serve as specie on the counter of immortality? You bargain for immortality by living the good life in heaven, of course, because the religions have promised immortality not only upstairs but downstairs for the bad ones. That, of course, and Dr. Pierce goes on about Dr. Williamson, why he was so very concerned about what sort of nurture the children had, and knew that home was the one place in which you can choose how you will do things. Now, the greeting which is quoted is the greeting which Fra Giovanni gave in the year 1514 to his friends. He wrote, "I am your friend, and my love for you goes deep. There is nothing I can give you which you have not got." You see the implication of this. What he has to give, the priceless, the precious thing, the realization of the Christ consciousness and the Christ spirit, which is the real meaning of the birth of Christ on Christmas Day, that is there within everybody. He says that centuries before him, 20 centuries before Fra Giovanni, the Buddha taught, the Buddha nature is within you. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is around you, within you. You see the importance of this. These people, whether they were founders of religions or just highly advanced monks, they realized the withinness of things so intensely that they reiterated the truth again and again, that it is all within us. I have used the phrase, we are transcendence embodied. You don't have to go out to seek transcendence or anything. It is all here now embodied in us. And if we know how to see and touch and learn from our whole environment, that transcendence comes to fruition in terms of perfect humanity. Just as transcendence has manifested its fruition in terms of the perfect flower, the perfect tree, the perfect gem, and so on and so on, you see. In all these forms of perfection, wherever there is perfection, you see, it is transcendence which manifests its transcendent nature. It is not our victory or our achievement or attainment. This we must realize. And we can't realize it unless we understand quite clearly that the selfness in us, which is inveterate and almost incorrigible, has to be fully understood and transcended. we are self-centered. So self-centered that we forget that as if we ever knew, we forget that we are the world. The whole world is within us. I think it was the last weekend here I mentioned how physically, for instance, the physical body, the sameness of all bodies is immensely greater than the differences of various bodies. You remember? We have bones, a skeleton, the shape of the skeleton, ligaments, muscles, skin, and the way the organs function. There is this sameness, you see? And that shows that physically, materially too, we are one totality, just one. Now, Fra Giovanni goes on, but there is much, very much, that while I cannot give it, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in today, now, this instant. And this this idea of the heart finding rest means, of course, this extraordinary peace and silence and quietude, which is the fruit of the discipline of the religious life. And then our hearts are at rest. This is the end of sorrow, of dejection. It is the end of ill, of evil. In Buddhism, conventionally, things have been presented in language which can be inadequate and misleading. The fact of sorrow and suffering, the fact of ill, is emphasized correctly, very strongly. But the supreme ill, the supreme suffering, is never mentioned. What is the supreme ill for any human being, for the whole human race? It is the lack, the absence of complete relationship, of perfect communion in and with transcendence itself. Although we are transcendence embodied, we are never in communion, or at least we are very rarely in communion with transcendence. Isn't that true? You see? So now, he says, no heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in today, right now, all the time. And he says, take heaven. How can you take heaven?
By storm. By storm.
You can't storm the ramparts of heaven, because whatever is seized by storm never stays. It perishes. Remember that wonderful statement by Yajnavalkya in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad about the Atma. it cannot be seized. You cannot seize transcendence. The hound of heaven holds us. It holds me. I can't hold transcendence. But the hound of heaven won't let me go until I have so lived that transcendence has found perfect fulfillment as the perfected human, the Holy One. Through this thing of ill and difficulty, ignorance, sorrow, and all the rest of it. See, this is something which very, very few people ever see clearly. If you consider, take this country alone, 55 millions we are, aren't we? Something like, somewhere there, 55 millions. Out of those 55 millions, are there even 55 people, one in a million, who really sees this, who is truly awake to it, who is truly conscious of it? Such people are a tremendous power, a quiet, invisible, unrecognized power in the environment of this country. People don't see these things. You may remember how often I have asked throughout the years, why do you take to religion? Religion in our sense of the term, not in the conventional mumbling out prayers and so on. As the Buddha said, mumble words for pay. Mumble the holy texts for pay. You see, not that. But real religion in the real sense, the awakening to transcendence within oneself and in the totality. See it in the totality. We take to religion in order to gain something, to be on the safe side. I'm afraid of hell. Therefore, I better try and live the good life, as the priest says, the doctor says, the philosopher says, my parents say, and so forth and so forth. Because I want heaven. As long as the psychophysical organism says I want, it completely defeats itself in the attempt to realize the supreme beatitude, the supreme good. It completely defeats itself. I have myself in life come across so many people during my lifetime who said, I must find God. One needs to tell that person, go and find space. But space isn't God. But you believe in the omnipresence of God. Therefore God is through and through all space, obviously. Omnipresent. Where, what are you trying to find? The God of your imagination, the projection out of your brain, which is just yourself apotheosized. Yourself in perfection, as you, with your imperfect mind, conceive perfection. People just are so blind, so muddled in confusion. So, take heaven means, I presume it means, I don't know of course what was in the mind of Raj Giovanni, as he lived more than five centuries ago. Nearing five centuries ago. I don't know what was in his mind. But as far as I can understand it, take heaven means live with the aspiration to manifest that such aspiration that heaven will manifest itself through you. You can't take heaven. Heaven will take you. Now, he goes on. No peace lies in the future which is not hidden in this present little instant. I mean, think of Fra Giovanni in the early 16th century sending out greetings like this. You see, I have all my life tried to sort of see and present the unity of religions. Religion is one and one only. Whatsoever purifies the person, whatsoever awakens him to transcendence, you see, and whatsoever puts him in complete relationship, in communion with the totality, all that is religion. If going to church and participating in a ritual, ceremonial ritual, releases that sense of transcendence, releases the sense of complete unity and relationship, then go and participate in the ritual. You see? Now, the members of other faiths other than the Christian faith, you see, they have their rituals. Some are quite remarkable and they do produce extraordinary results. But there is no ceremonial ritual comparable to Christian ceremonial ritual for the perfect way in which it combines all the arts. This congregational worship is something very special to Christendom. Take, for example, the Zarathustrian rituals. We have rituals in which each individual prays his own prayers, which will be different from the fellow next to him, out of the book, you see. One person may be reading this particular Yesht or Niyayesh. Those are the names for what we call litanies and so on, you see. And the next fellow will be mumbling something different, and they are all doing it loudly. And the dear old priest will himself recite the whole of the Yasna, as it is called, the worship of the ritual for the ritual. It's in 72 chapters, consists of 72 chapters, takes a very long time. And he will be repeating all that, swaying from side to side all the time. What a confusion. It's like playing all the notes of the octave together and pounding away at it. The Muslim ritual has a certain amount of togetherness about it, but there's no music in it. There is no sound in it. But heaven, in Zarathustrianism, for instance, the highest heaven is called the house of song. Interesting, isn't it? The house of song, not cacophony. Garo Lemana. That's the Avastan. Garo Lemana. So now, no peace lies in the future which is not hidden in this present little instant. In this instant is hidden all the peace that can emerge if one lives the holy life. And he says, take peace. I'm sure deep in his mind the word take must mean aspire to it, work towards it, but not for yourself. He goes on, the gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. There is radiance and glory in the darkness. Could we but see? See the importance? Could we but see? If we could awake to it, if we look. But we don't know the art of looking. This is where Krishnamurti has made an invaluable contribution to the whole idea of the religious life. Learn how to look, to see, to hear, listen, touch, and so forth. And as I have said myself so many times and written in Thor, the sense functions become the cords of communion. And the senses and sense functioning has been so criticized and decried by the wrong type of austerity. I beseech you, says Giovanni, look. Centuries later than Giovanni, Krishnaji says the same thing. Look, look, just look. Look with clean eyes, with transparent eyes, I would say. Which means that in the act of looking, don't let the brain keep chattering away at what you're looking. Or to what you are listening. When a bird sings, or when some holy one speaks, and his speech is prophetic speech, what does one do? One is agreeing, disagreeing, criticizing, approving, and all that sort of nonsense. This turmoil. It's like mob fury, mob frenzy. And the world today lives in this state of fury and frenzy. Life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly, heavy, or hard. remove the covering and you will find beneath it a living splendor woven of love by wisdom with power. What a sentence! What a sentence! Remove the covering and you will find beneath it a living splendor woven of love by wisdom with power. Welcome it. Grasp it. Of course, with our Buddhist training and so forth, we would naturally feel it would be better to use another word than grasp. I would say in all such cases, instead of taking or grasping, give yourself to it. Everything that we call a trial, a sorrow, or a duty, believe me, the gift is there, and the wonder of an overshadowing presence. Now, I don't know whether Fra Giovanni thought along these lines, but if you study the Gita carefully, the Bhagavad Gita, in those marvelous two or three discourses in which Sri Krishna reveals himself to Arjuna, you will find that Sri Krishna says, he is everything, what we call good as well as what we call evil. The ultimate transcendence, God, the reality, is the totality. We pick and choose. We exercise discriminative choice. And we discriminate only in terms of what is pleasant and agreeable to us. But the overshadowing presence is there. Transcendence is there in everything, however evil it may seem to us. Our joys too, be not content with them as joys. They too conceal diviner gifts. Life is so full of meaning and purpose, so full of beauty. Beneath its covering, that you will find earth only cloaks your heaven. Marvelous language. Meaning and purpose, full of beauty, and beneath its covering you will find earth only cloaks your heaven. Courage then to claim it. Again, I wouldn't say claim, but it's worthwhile reading his words. That is all. But courage you have, and the knowledge that we are pilgrims together, wending through unknown country homewards. And so at this time I greet you. He must have written this either at Easter or Christmas or some such occasion, you see, because he uses the word greetings. And so at this time I greet you. Not quite as the world sends greetings, but with profound esteem. Profound esteem. Valuing the living being, valuing life, reverencing life, realizing that life is sacred. But life in the real sense is sacred because it embraces totality. This is the extra. This is only an extract of the letter by Fra Giovanni, written in 1514 to his friends.